The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
So we were given our kids as a stewardship. That may seem like a strange way to start out a missions message, but it is absolutely crucial. We were given our kids to show them Christ. We were given our kids to teach them the scriptures that can give them the wisdom which leads to salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. But we're only given our kids for a short period of time. It's a temporary stewardship. Every parent needs to come to grips with the fact that the stewardship is a temporary stewardship. We only have them for a short time. And our goal is not to keep them little forever. Our goal is to raise them to become adults. Adults who are wise and responsible and hopefully godly. It's our earnest desire that we would raise them in a way that they grow up to love and serve the Lord. I want you to put yourself in the place of Mr. and Mrs. Hasseltine, who had a young daughter. They received this letter from some young man that wanted to marry her. That young man wrote this letter. He says, "I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to her departure for a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of lack and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps even a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you? For the sake of the perishing, immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God, can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness, brightened by the acclamations of praise which shall redound to her Savior from the heathens saved through her means from eternal woe and despair?" John and Rebecca Hasseltine brought their young daughter Anne in and read the letter to her and told her that she should decide for herself. What would you do, parent? You receive a letter like that from a suitor that wants to marry your daughter and take her away and perhaps never see her again. Anne Hasseltine said yes and married Adoniram Judson, and they left for Burma together. Anne would know the hardships of missionary life. She would suffer a miscarriage on the way to India. She would lose a little 8-month-old boy Roger. She would watch her husband, Adoniram, suffer for 2 years in a Burmese prison. She labored tirelessly to get his release. They had another child, Maria, but Anne died, and then Maria died 6 months later. But John and Rebecca Hasseltine raised their daughter to follow the Lord and to make God-honoring decisions. In order to raise kids who will say, I will go, or I will send, we have to raise them first and foremost to simply be mission-minded. And so I want to do something very simple tonight. First, I want to lay out a foundation for raising mission-minded kids, and then give practical suggestions on raising mission-minded kids. And so we start with the foundation, and I actually made these slides all by myself. You should be impressed. I didn't even get Jason's help. So if they don't fit the screen, actually, but that's my fault. So the foundation of raising mission-minded kids, you have to begin, first of all, with the glory of God and a global vision. And so you got to raise your kids to understand, to be taught that God's glory is the most important reality in all of the universe. Your kids should be raised in a way that if you were to ask them what is the chief end of man, they'd be able to turn around and say the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And if you were to ask them what is the chief end of God, you should raise them in such a way that they're able to say the chief end of God is to glorify himself and glorify himself forever and enjoy himself forever. It should roll off of our kids' tongues. From him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. We have to understand that God's mission in missions is to spread his glory. That's what missions is about. That is what missions is preeminently about, is God's mission to spread his glory throughout the entire earth. And so Psalm 72, which I have up there, some verses. May he also rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth, and let all kings bow down before him, all nations serve him. May his name endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines, and let men bless themselves by him. That is, by the way, the psalm that Isaac Watts used to write the hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. So we teach our kids that the glory of God is the most central, the most preeminent thing, the most preeminent reality in all of the world, which means it's also should be the preeminent reality in their life. You should be able to look at your kid in the eye and say, why do you exist? And they should be able to tell you, we exist for the glory of God. We also teach them not just the glory of God, but we teach them, we give them a global vision that the world is God's world. Okay? So here's one of the things that we have to beware of and sensitive to. We want to raise kids who grow up and who love their country. Okay? I want my kids to be thankful for this nation in which we live and understand the blessings of liberty. But I don't want my kids to grow up in an ethnocentric perspective that says America is the only good place in the world and every other place is just an armpit. We need to teach our kids to love the world because it's God's world. We should teach our kids about this vast land known as China that has an ancient culture. We should teach our kids about Iraq and Iran. Do you know that the church is exploding in Iran right now? There are thousands of new believers in Iran right now. If the only thing you do is teach your kids America good, Iran bad, they won't have a passion for missions. Teach them about India. Teach them about Africa. Teach them about South America. Help them to have a global vision. Show them a map. Put a map up in your house and remind them over and over again that this is God's world and He wants this whole world to be filled with His glory. He's actually said it. Numbers 14, 21, I swear, declares the Lord, the earth shall be filled with my glory as waters fill the seas. And so teach them about the glory of God in a global vision. Don't let them think that this is the only place in the world that exists. Let them know that there are lots of places all over this world where there are people that love Jesus and people who need to know Jesus, and every square inch of that globe, Jesus Christ says, it's mine. Next layer of the foundation is you got to teach your kids the grace and the gladness of the gospel. Okay? There's no sense in even talking about missions if you don't first talk about the gospel. And so, as parents, what do? You pray for the conversion of your kids. I pray this every day for one of my kids. God, I plead with you, give him a new heart. Bring the conviction of sin. Bring him to repentance. Bring him to faith in Jesus. I pray for my kids and my grandkids. Lord, lead them in a life of service to Christ. Okay? So you pray for their conversion, and then you evangelize them. So we are not of the opinion that says because your children are born into a Christian home that somehow they're automatically covenant children. We believe our children need to be converted. Our children need to be born again. Our children need to repent and to believe the gospel. And so we evangelize our children. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you know this already, don't decision them. Don't just say, pray this prayer with me if you don't want to go to hell. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to pray the prayer with you. Evangelize them by repeatedly teaching them the gospel so that they understand what it is to follow Jesus, not just jump through a verbal hoop. Tell them how you came to know Jesus. Give them your testimony. Talk to them about the sermons. Talk to them about the gospel. Utilize family worship to drive home the truths of who God is, what Christ has done, who they are, why they need Christ, and then instill in them a wonder for the gospel. Instill in them a wonder for the cross of Jesus. Instill in them amazement that the tomb is empty. And instill in them this anticipation that one of these days, we sing it every single Lord's Supper, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound. The Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Teach them the blessed hope. And not only just teach them about these things, but sing about these things in family worship. Sing about the cross. Sing about the resurrection. Sing about the second coming. And here's the simple truth. They will never be captured by these glorious truths unless you are captured by these glorious truths. And emphasize that Jesus did what he did not just so that we would be saved, but Jesus did what he did for every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. And they sang a new song, Revelation 5:9, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And so as you teach your kid to marvel at the cross, and when you teach your kid, "When I survey the wondrous cross," and when you teach your kids the wonderful songs of Zion that extol the atoning death of Jesus, you remind them over and over, he not only did that for us, he did that for people who are in China and Africa and Indonesia and Malaysia and Malawi. Next layer of the foundation. Teach your kids the lost state of people without Christ. Instill in your kids a sense of the Great Commission. Instill in your kids that the Great Commission wasn't just for the apostles. The Great Commission is for us. And we're to go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations. And you know how we do that? We do that by talking to our neighbors, and we do that by talking to people we work with, and we do that by sending missionaries. We explain to them the Great Commission, and we explain to them why people need to hear the gospel. You don't want your kids just simply having this romanticized idea of what missions is about. Missions is about the salvation of souls, and people need to hear or they'll perish. Do you believe that? Do you believe that people actually need to hear the gospel? I do. Faith comes by hearing. And how are they going to hear unless there's a preacher? And how is he going to preach unless he's sent? And so we teach our kids, we explain to them why there's a Great Commission, why Jesus is concerned for the nations, why Jesus has told us to make disciples. And then finally, or not finally, but almost finally, we talk to them about the realities of heaven and hell. One of the best things you can do for your kids is teach them that this life is short. This life is a vapor. It is absolutely stunning how fast life goes by. And you kids, you need to realize, you know what your life is like? It's like walking out on a cold morning and seeing your breath. That's life. James 4:14, life is a vapor. It's short. And it doesn't matter whether you live to be as old as Bob Edwards or you die at 25, life is short. And so you instill in your kids that life is a vapor, life is short, and eternity is forever. And what you do in this life impacts the life to come that will have no end. Do you ever just stop to feel the weight of that? When we came to Grace Community Church, Don Strachan was younger than I am now. And now look how close to the grave he is. Life goes by so fast. And there's a heaven to be gained. And there's a hell to be shunned. Teach them that heaven is not just some sort of ethereal existence where you strum on a harp and float on a cloud. Teach them about the eternal increase of joy, and that in God's presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, and heaven with God, eternity with God, a new heaven, a new earth with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, is to be sought after more than anything in this life. It is more important that you know that when you die, you will enter into the presence of your Savior, never to be separated from him, than it is to have a degree or to have a job that pays seven figures or to have a pretty wife. None of that matters compared to eternity. Teach your kids. Kids, here's what you need to know. The youngest to the oldest, you're going to die. You're going to die. There will be a day, and it won't be very long from now, and you'll breathe your last. Teach them not only the eternal increase of joy, but teach them the eternal misery of divine wrath. It seems to me that as the culture encroaches upon the church, it has a tendency to make us softer. And it has a tendency to blunt our edges. For the sake of your kids' souls, tell them that there is a real place called hell. And that those who die without Christ, that's where they go. Those who reject and spurn the mercy of God do not enter into the presence of the fullness of his joy. They enter into the presence of the fullness of his justice and his wrath, and that forever. No pardons, no reprieves, no commuting of sentences. That is a person's eternal state forever. This is why family worship and family devotions are so important. Dads, let them see your heart. If you do family worship in a way where you're not gripped, they won't be gripped. Let them see your tears. Let them see your tears for the lost. Let them see your tears for them. It's not as if every single time you sit down for family devotions, you sit there and bawl. There's somebody here tonight, there's two people here tonight that can testify that there were times without number where I would look my kids in the eye and plead with them to trust Christ. Family devotions isn't to show how smart you are. It's to show how good Jesus is. Be earnest and be passionate about the things that God is earnest and passionate about. It's contagious. It's contagious. Let your tears melt the hearts of stone. Final piece of the foundation is the centrality of the local church. Missions does not continue without healthy churches. I hope you believe that. So we have a few generations under our belt that have actually abandoned or neglected the church in favor of parachurch ministries, and it's been a huge mistake. A huge mistake. Healthy churches are the lifeblood of missions. Healthy churches are made up of healthy members who love Christ, who love the church, and who love missions. So think of that. This was our message last year, I think it was. The church in Antioch, Acts chapter 13, a Gentile church. It was a praying church. It was a fasting church. And it was a church that the Holy Spirit raised up Paul and Barnabas to be sent out, the brightest and the best from that congregation, to be sent out on a missionary journey to take the gospel. It was a local church that did that. It wasn't a mission agency. It was a local church. And that local church had a vibrancy, and it became a sending church. Paul, in Romans 15, makes it's an astonishing statement. So I've told you that Romans is a missionary letter, right? Paul writes Romans, the most profound theological epistle in the whole New Testament. It's a missionary support letter. Paul writes Romans so that he can get support from the Roman Christians as he continues on in his journey. Listen to what he says at the end of Romans 15. He says, "For this reason, I've often been prevented from coming to you, but now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you." Paul says, so Roman church, you're going to help me take the gospel to Spain. That's what local churches do. And so the local church is absolutely crucial. So Max Stiles, who's a pastor in Dubai, says this. He says, the local church is the embassy of God on earth, the platform from which the Lord God advances evangelism, discipleship, and mission. And we can't do missions without the church. You know, the whole relationship of missions we'll say this again, I've said it before. You have goers and you have senders. Those are the only two categories. And local churches are senders. God may raise up goers from a local church, but local church exists to send, to see God's glory spread in the nations. And so we do lots of things. Churches do lots of things, but we have to realize that we are an embassy of God on earth. And so, parents, we show by example the importance of the local church. Quite honestly, how much interest in missions is ever stirred and acted upon apart from a person's involvement in a local church? They go hand in hand. And so we show our kids by example, not just the importance of preaching and not just the importance of fellowship, but the importance of prayer and the importance of banding together to be a people who have a concern for the nations and a zeal for the glory of Christ among the nations. So this is the foundation. You want to raise mission-minded kids? God and His glory and the gospel and the necessity of the gospel and heaven and hell and the church. Now for some practical suggestions. By the way, the foundations are not suggestions. Those are bedrock truths, one built on another. I want to call these practical suggestions, but I hope that you see that they're not just personal preference. Okay? So first, you want to raise mission-minded kids? Pray for real missionaries during family worship. Think about real missionaries who have real names and real faces. Put missionary cards on your refrigerator. Put missionary cards in the Bible that you use for family worship or the devotional book that you use. Let your kids see these people with their kids. Pray for them by name. Some of you support missionaries that our church doesn't support. That's wonderful. The more missionaries supported, the better. But our kids should know the names Tom and Bev. Our kids should know Chris and Shirley and Timothy. Our kids most certainly should know Elizabeth. Our kids should know the Courties and the fact that they minister among one of the most hopeless people groups in our country, Native Americans who are wasting away on the largest reservation in America. They should know Thompson and Irene Chung. They should know the Carbonells. You should introduce them to the Laytons. This next year, we're starting to support the Laytons and their work in Spain. They should understand why the Laytons' work in Spain is so important and what the Laytons do in Spain. Your kids should know Zambia. They should be able to look at a map of Africa and know where Zambia is. And they should know names like Conrad. When you go just by internationally, just by one name, Conrad, you should be known. Right? By the way, Conrad will be here in March. So we're bringing Zambia to you. And in April, Lord willing, we'll bring one of my dear friends, Isaac Makashini, to you. They should know what happens at the Lusaka Ministerial College. This is where church planters and pastors are trained. They should know what happens at the Copperbelt Ministerial College. They should understand what is going on in a different part of the world. So pray for real missionaries with real names, real faces. May your kids be familiar with them. And then pray for the nations. We used to use Operation World. That title over there, Pray for the World, is the latest edition of what used to be Operation World. It gives you stats on the nations, how many people, what their ethnic groups are, how many believers there are, what kind of mission work is presently going on. Read it to your kids. Pray. Pray for Morocco. Pray for Saudi Arabia. Pray for Irian-Jaya. Let your kids know what God is doing in other places in the world. Also, pray for the persecuted church. Our kids need to have an awareness that following Jesus in the rest of the world is not like following Jesus here. Our kids need to know that it's not only been appointed for us to believe in Christ, but to suffer for his name. And most Christians in the rest of the world know exactly what it is to suffer for his name. And so you have Voice of the Martyrs, which is persecution.com. You have Persecution International Christian Concern, which is persecution.org. Gives an awareness of the global church. If you get Voice of the Martyrs, show your kids the pictures in Voice of the Martyrs. So, well, I don't know that I want my kids to... Listen, if you're going to tell them about hell, it's okay for them to see the persecuted church. They should understand that it costs something to follow Jesus, and there are places in the world where it's very dangerous to follow Jesus. Next, one of my favorites, read missionary biographies. Read missionary biographies in family worship. Read missionary biographies. If you homeschool your kids, assign missionary biographies. They don't pass unless they read missionary biographies. You will flunk them out of your school unless they read missionary biographies. I just put a smattering of some of my favorites. Your kids should know who David Brainerd is. Okay. I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to take a poll, but I wonder, how many of the kids know who David Brainerd is? William Carey. Our kids should actually know the incredible courage of someone like William Carey, who went and suffered so much in the land of India. Our kids should know Adoniram and Ann Judson. Our kids should know the stories of John G. Payton and his ministry among the New Hebrides, the cannibals among the New Hebrides. Our kids should know Hudson Taylor. Our kids should know Jim Elliot and Elizabeth Elliot. Who cares if they know who Lady Gaga is and they don't know who Jim Elliot is? Get their priorities straight. Our kids should be knowledgeable of the incredible sacrifices of the Chinese, of the missionaries to China who suffered so much under the Boxer Rebellion and under communism and under the Cultural Revolution. Our kids should know the names of John and Betty Stamm, and they should know Gladys Allward, and they should know Slessor, and they should know a whole group of people who did exactly what we sing when we sing number 92. They let goods and kindred go this mortal life also, and they are worthy examples to follow. Desiring God has numerous short articles on all kinds of missionaries and missions articles. Short, they're terrific for family worship. But do you know that if you walk out that foyer and turn right and go to the nursery and then turn left, you will see a section that says missionary biographies and their kids' books? Anybody just want to take a stab at why we might have missionary biographies available for you to take home and read? We want you to know who the real heroes are. We want you to know those who've made the ultimate sacrifice, but at the end would say, I never made a sacrifice. You know, one of the most important missionaries to ever go to China is somebody that we barely ever hear about. Robert Morrison. I wonder how many have heard of Robert Morrison. Robert Morrison was, in a sense, the first, if you don't count Nestorian Christians and Jesuits, was the first Christian missionary to China. And you know what he did? He produced an Anglo-Chinese dictionary so that missionaries could come and learn Chinese. He produced a Chinese grammar. He actually produced an entire commentary with his help, helper Milne. They did a commentary on the whole Bible in Chinese. And you know, he did all of this as he had a full-time job working for the East India Company. Okay. So if you come up and tell me you're tired, okay, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I'm serious. I'm so tired. Okay. Live Robert Morrison's life. Work 10 hours a day for the East India Company, then spend the rest of the night living on 3 hours of sleep because you're translating a Chinese dictionary. There are so many. David Livingston, Robert Moffat, men that actually pioneered in the interior of Africa, and there are Christians in Zambia today because of Livingston. And they know it. Teach them about missionaries. Read missionary biographies. Teach them also that they're blessed to be a blessing. Psalm 67, 1 and 2, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. Teach them that the prosperity that we have in this nation and that we have in this life is for the glory of God and the good of the nations. Making a good living is not predominantly about having more stuff. It's about giving more away. There is in this room a range, a significant range of economic levels. But every single person in this room has an abundance compared to 90% of this world. And you teach your kids that the money that dad makes, the way that we use our money, is we want to glorify God and do good to our community and to the nations. Now, let me just say as a footnote, young people, don't become so strapped with student debt that it's a barrier for you to go to the mission field. Okay. Serious. Many young people have had a desire to go to the mission field, but they can't because they owe Fed loan $100,000. Don't accrue debt and hinder your ability to be a sender. It is no example to look at your kids and when they say, do we send money to missionaries? Well, no, we have to pay the MasterCard. Debt is one of Satan's instruments to undermine funding missions. All right, I'm off that soapbox. Actually, this is all soapbox material that I feel deeply about, and I hope you do too. Next, encourage your kids to be friendly and evangelistic now. That is a novel idea. Some old Baptist preacher, I think it was a guy named Jess Moody, but I can't be sure about that, said, don't expect your light to burn brightly in India if it doesn't burn in your neighborhood. Teach your kids now. So you have to understand that I'm saying something more than telling your kids, hey, pass out tracts to people. Okay? If they want to pass out tracts, that's great. But you have to understand that this is an important parental moment. Oftentimes our kids are threatened when a new kid comes around. And the reason they feel threatened is because they're insecure. And they don't want to lose their present friends to a new friend. And so do you know why there are cliques? There are cliques because cliques are safe. Cliques create a social bubble that I feel safe in. And if somebody new starts to come in, I may actually have some opposition to that new person because I don't feel as secure in my friendships as I should, and I'm worried what happens. So we end up keeping kids out. And so listen, kids, listen, parents. First of all, parents, instill in your children higher priorities. Young people, when you see somebody come in here, maybe it's because of VBS, see that person as a person, as somebody who probably is lost. Maybe somebody who's really shy. Maybe somebody who is hurting. Maybe somebody who's desperately in need of a friend and in need of the gospel. Be friendly. Reach out to people. It's a wonderful way to serve the Lord and to reflect Jesus to people. Oh, by the way, adults, the same goes for you. Cliques are safe. Our little groups are safe. We have to see people as lost people and reach out to them and be friendly to them and welcome one another just as Jesus Christ has welcomed you. And so if your kids only see mom or dad talking to mom or dad's friends and you see five new people go walking by and your kids never see you make an effort to go out to the new person, how inclined are they going to be to go and talk to a new person? Well, they're shy. No, that's an excuse. That is an excuse. Don't use shyness or timidity as an excuse for your child not to be friendly. Okay, I know some of you don't like this, but this is just the way that it is. Ashley's 4 years old. We just moved here. Couple came over to help us. We had dinner together. They were getting ready to leave. And Ariel says, tell so-and-so good night, Ashley. And Ashley slipped around the back of Ariel's leg and, you know, tucked her head in. And Ariel said, she's shy. And this woman wonderfully said to us, no, she's rude. We thank God for it because it made us as parents say, listen, you treat people with respect, you look them in the eye, and you're friendly. What's the likelihood that your kids are ever going to be mission-minded if they don't even have a heart for a stranger that comes into their midst? Church is a great place to teach it, to model it, and encourage it. Finally, encourage your kids to consider missionary service. We are either goers or senders. If you, I want to say this as tactlessly as possible, if you stand in the way of your kid doing the will of God and serving Him, you're sinning. You're sinning. If you want to smother that kid, no, it's too dangerous. You're sinning. Do you not believe to live is Christ and to die is gain? Or does that only count for other people? Quit making idols of your children and prepare them to be adults to serve the King. And if they come home one day and they say, hey, I got a letter from this guy named Adoniram. Here you go. You're not taking my kid to a dangerous place. Mistake number one, it's not your kid. Mistake number two, God sends His kids to dangerous places all the time. You know, there are worse things than dying for Jesus. Do you believe that or not? What would you rather have your kid do? Go to a Muslim nation in the 1040 window and at age 26 be martyred? Or to live to 90, a dissolute life that dishonors and displeases the Lord? Which one? Encourage your kids. 3 John 7 and 8, they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. You have those that have gone out for the sake of the name and those that support those that go out for the sake of the name. Now, here's the caveat. Don't manipulate your kids into missionary service. Inspire them and challenge them. It may be that God's will for them is to be a husband and a construction worker or a business owner or a stay-at-home mom. Not everybody's a missionary in that sense of going. And every call is a legitimate call before Christ. But ask your kid the question, why not you? Why not you? To live as Christ. Teach them whether they're a goer or a sender, that they need to live for something bigger than themselves, and that is the glory of God. Teach them whether they're a goer or a sender, that they live for something bigger than themselves, and that is the glory of God in their local church and in their community and in the nations. Encourage them to go on short-term mission opportunities. I wholeheartedly encourage, believe in, support short-term missions work. You know why? Because short-term missions work is often the ground in which the soil in which a call to the mission field grows. Can there be stuff that happens? The answer is yeah. You can go to Zambia for 3 weeks, come home and sit on the toilet for one. Too much information, I'm sure. But who wouldn't make such a small sacrifice for the one who has done so much for us? Okay? I'm going to be honest with you. Larry Pan, when we were doing China Bridge stuff, Larry used to look at me and he says, "You're a good pastor, but you make no good missionary because your stomach, you don't like the food." It's true. I don't eat chicken feet. I don't eat Nishima. I don't eat that stuff. But you know what? It's a small price to pay. To take the word of God and the gospel to people that need it. Instill it in your kids. And as you pray as families, it may be in the midst of those family prayers that God moves the heart of one of your children for a people group or for a nation or just the desire to serve Christ, no matter what that may look like. Jesus is going to accomplish his mission. I have no doubt. It is not as if the whole thing hangs on us. There is a God who reigns in heaven and he is accomplishing his purposes, and Jesus is the King of the nations and he is executing his mission throughout the nations. But I will tell you this, missionaries come from mission-minded churches and mission-minded families, and may God raise up more and more missionaries for the good of the nations and for the glory of our Savior. And may, you know what our heart's desire is? If you remember, you saw the congregational letter. We're going to have this building paid off in just a few short years, maybe sooner than even what we've anticipated. Do you know what our goal is? Our goal is to spend and spend and spend for the sake of the nations. And our goal is to see men and women from this congregation who rise up and who say, "God has his hand on me to be a goer," and we're able to say, "We are your senders." May God help us. May God help us in a culture and a society that is so shallow and so soft and so fluffy. May we raise up children who really know what it means to serve King Jesus throughout this world. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would wean us from our idols. Lord, actually, we don't want to be weaned from our idols. We want our idols smashed. And we pray that you would inflame our hearts with a zeal for your glory. And we pray, Father, that our kids would be moved to consider serving Jesus in a place where people really need him. And so, Father, we pray that you would give us our heart's desire. We pray that you would empower us to be a mighty sending church. And we pray that you would raise up goers. Lord, we pray that some right now that are just still in diapers would be future goers. For the glory of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com. www.grace.com.